Welcome into ESPN Upstate Inside the Ropes. My name is Lonzo, along with Patrick Brown.
How's it going?
Soon we will be joined by a professional wrestler who is busy wrestling. That's the reason why he's not on the podcast this week. On this here podcast, we are going to talk a little bit of Wrestle Kingdom, and we're going to talk about NXT Spartanburg. We're going to start right there, by the way. NXT Spartanburg last week, my first NXT experience. Patrick has went to one before, right?
Two.
Okay, so you've
I've been to one other NXT Spartanburg.
Okay. So this was last week. I don't know when you listened to it. This was, I don't know. It was the 1st of January. Was the 1st of January?
Yeah, it was the January 4th.
Yeah, 1st of January, Friday night. Pretty cold night. Got there, and I first want to say, and I'm not being mean about this, but one of us paid for parking, one of us did not.
Sorry.
But again, you don't know the area that much, and you probably haven't been there. There is a huge parking lot behind the Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium. And you know how if you go to park someplace, there's always those guys out there flashing signs, $10 here, that kind of stuff. Those guys were out there, even though you didn't have to pay for parking.
Yeah.
And a cold night, you know, maybe you wanted to pay so you wouldn't have to walk as far.
Well, I just didn't know.
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you, I was fine with the cold weather. Did not bother me at all.
As I was pulling up, I saw those, and I'm like, wait a minute. They don't charge to park here that I recall. Let me go back here and look. And if there are no free spaces, then I'll come back out and pay. And I went out there, and half the parking lot was empty. So so it sucks for you. But
yeah. Oh, well.
Valuable lesson next time something like that happens there. Or if you're listening to this podcast and you're wondering, do they charge there? I've never been charged for parking there before. Doesn't mean they don't do it, but I don't recall them ever doing that. And unless it's some sort of fancy smancy type thing that we don't know about. So anyway, get into the arena. The setup wasn't bad. It was very intimate. We paid for the cheap seats, which was sitting in the bleachers. And I had heard that there are poles in the way, and there are some poles up there,
yeah.
But it's not so bad because the entrance for the wrestlers are like what? 12 feet or something like that. I mean, it's not very far.
Yeah, no.
So you lose them for a second. And so found a pretty good seat near the aisle so we could get in and out, go to the restroom, go to the concession stand, all that kind of stuff. And the crowd, it was pretty full. Don't you think it was pretty full?
Yeah, it was pretty full. The only seats that really weren't taken up were kind of the floor seats a little bit.
Because people realize, I can pay $20 to sit up in the balcony, or I could pay $75 to sit ringside.
And to be quite honest with you, I think the $20, like what we did was we sat in the bleachers and we got a much better view of things because we kind of saw everything.
Definitely. It's not like being at the well. This is in the basement of the Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium. I've been there before to see some MMA events, and it doesn't seat as many, but it's still, I don't know, what, 500 maybe?
Probably more than that.
Yeah, I'm just...
I mean, if they fill out the bleachers, that's easily 500, you know, if they fill out both sides of the bleachers.
Yeah, probably. So the thing started out, the announcer come out, a lot of energy, and I was wondering who we would see. I went there hoping to see a couple wrestlers. I wanted to see Ember Moon, who is my favorite NXT wrestler. I wanted to see Aleister Black, and I wanted to see Velveteen Dream. I got to see all three.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was worth it for that for me. But the matches were really good. They started out the show with No Way Jose. And
great to see him back.
Yeah, because he has been hurt. And that guy, energy, the crowd gets into it. He's awesome to see live.
Just natural charisma. I mean, whenever he comes out, always a smile. And it gets not only the kids smiling, but also the adults smiling as well, because everyone loves him.
And I thought he was a pretty big guy before. I mean, seeing him on TV. But he's a pretty big guy. And you wonder... will he get a push in the future? I know they got to keep people down at NXT for a while before they move them up. And some of the people that they've moved up to the main rosters, they don't do anything with.
Well, it's one of those things where NXT is more of the hardcore fan base of wrestling, whereas the main roster is maybe the more casual. And because they see them on TV a lot more, that the entrances and all this other stuff kind of gets worn down a little bit. So with No Way Jose, it's kind of nice because... I mean, he's only in NXT, so you only see his entrance maybe once or twice a month. And then for the pay-per-views, he does a little bit bigger. So it's one of those things where, yeah, they keep him down there for a while, but it's just because it works better.
So then we got to see a bunch of different wrestlers that I like from NXT, but especially I wanted to see all of Sanity.
But, the rest of Sanity was in Florida.
But at least we got to see Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
And you think she's crazy when you watch her on the network live. It's just, I mean, complete psycho, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It really is. And she was wrestling a local wrestler from South Carolina who was in the Mae Young Classic. And when she came out, she was getting some cheers and stuff, and then Nikki came out, and all that was pretty much done. Except for that one really loud dude to the right of us.
Yeah, it was like a group of two that were just like, we're going to root for the one that everyone else is not rooting for, and we're like, all right. I mean, we obviously know Nikki will probably win this match. So I would just root for Nikki because I knew her more.
Well, I was rooting for her anyway because she had, there's a size difference and just there's something about a psycho girl wrestler. You don't see enough of those. I think it's rare. Something else, that guy who was really loud, he thought it was Chris Jericho. And if you're listening, sir, you're not Chris Jericho. I just want to point that out. Ask him, ref. It wasn't a horrible impersonation.
No, but we heard it the whole night.
Yeah, and something else, and this is a minor complaint, and I get it, the too sweet thing. Every time you go one, too sweet, after a while it gets annoying to me.
Well, not only that, but the people in front of us jump the gun every single time.
I think they were a little happy before they got there, possibly.
Oh, no doubt about that. But it's like they went, like the referee went, and they would count with them, one, two. And then right before the referee would give the signal for the two, they would already be sweet. Like, they already say sweet. And I'm like, you've got to wait.
They get upset because they couldn't get it right. It's like in my church growing up, and I know it sounds mean, but my church growing up, there's a guy who had a hearing aid. So he never could clap in time. And it threw everybody else off because he would hear it, you know, just a half a second later than everybody else. And that's what they were doing, except the other way, just a little bit too early. And I don't think they ever got it right the entire night. Yep. And that's horrible. I mean, again, it gets annoying after a while. The first couple of times it wasn't so bad, but those guys, they paid their money. They had a good time. It wasn't like they ruined the experience or anything. It's good looking around at the crowd and seeing who's having fun and it looked like everybody was. What matches stood out for you?
Lars versus Roderick Strong.
Lars is a big dude.
Well, not only that, but how physical it was for a house show. Like, Roderick Strong, we all know, was a great wrestler. He got a great ovation. Lars got a pretty good ovation, too. And the match was a fantastic match. I think that was before the intermission match.
Yeah, normally I root for the faces, but there's something
about Lars that you're like,
yeah.
I like him.
He has an old school look and feel to him. I mean, back in the old WCW Saturday night kind of days.
He looks like a balder version
of
Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, he just looks like, just someone you definitely don't want to mess with.
I thought that match was great. Ono and Black versus O'Reilly and Fish was really good, too. Like, that was a really, really good technical match. I think that was the intermission before the intermission match.
Yeah, see, the one thing I didn't like about that is I don't like seeing Aleister Black getting his butt kicked. I mean, he was getting whipped pretty good.
Well, the thing is, I think they want to kind of build towards him and Cole whenever they go out at Philadelphia for TakeOver, that they're just going to go beat each other up. Like, so they're getting used to seeing that Cole is going to get some offense in on Black. Because I think Cole is going to be the next big thing in NXT.
Well, Aleister Black, he sold it really well. But again, I'm just not used to seeing him get beat up like that. And you know, every wrestler is going to, just like Asuka, is going to get beat up eventually. Yeah. That kind of stuff is going to happen. I definitely liked the Ember Moon thing. It was a tag team, but Shayna Baszler, when she came out, that was a big deal.
Everyone reacted very big to that one.
And watching NXT this week, they're really pushing her as the big time heel, which you knew could she ever be a face? I don't know. I think some wrestlers come out and they have a look where you're just like, there's no way they can never be a good guy.
I think she could be a tweener, but that's about it.
It's one of those, if she's going up against someone equally as heelish,
Yeah.
That you might root for her.
It's like if Samoa Joe gets crossed by another heel. Like, he's not really a face,
like,
but
like Samoa Joe versus someone from Canada. KO. Samoa Joe
versus Kevin Owens. Yeah. Like, that's the only way Samoa Joe would be considered a face in that match.
All right, so I liked that match, and I was waiting, and there were some other good matches, but we need to move on. But the final match, when Velveteen Dream came out, that was great.
Fantastic match, by the way.
That was a really good match.
The great thing about Velveteen Dream is that his entrance is always the same, but he does a little bit different each time.
He shouldn't have lost, though. I understand why he lost, but he shouldn't have lost.
And I think it's great because I know we're leading towards a program between Gargano and The Dream, so why not get some experience between them right now?
I still think, you know, I'm just speculating here. I think the next big move from NXT to the main roster needs to be Velveteen Dream because...
Love to see him in the Royal Rumble.
There's no one like him on either SmackDown or Raw. I mean, character-wise, and plus, dude is a great athlete, and he's a lot bigger than people think, too.
Could we see him in the Royal Rumble?
Possibly.
That would be kind of cool.
And we will do another podcast right before Royal Rumble, which is in 2 weeks, I think?
Yep, 2 weeks from this recording.
All right, so we had a blast going to see that. When it come back, I definitely will go again. All right, you've been watching New Japan Wrestling a bunch. I had taped it on Access for a while, and I never watched it. I just turned it off. And then Jericho went over there, and I'm like, okay, I need to check this out.
And I kept telling you to have some interest in it. I think Jericho going over there is like, now I don't really have an excuse.
All right, I want to talk about two matches, then you can finish up what you want to finish up so we can finish this thing up. First of all, Cody Rhodes, which I didn't realize he was over there too. I thought he was still in ROH, which he probably still is.
ROH and New Japan have a deal
together.
Okay,
all right. So that was a pretty good match. I didn't know Cody was married.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch anything else pretty much.
No, I know.
And I need to expand my horizons, but I have many different hats and many different things that I have to
I know, that's why you come to me for the news.
There we go. So that was a very good match. But I have some questions about New Japan Wrestling that I didn't know.
Okay.
The 20 count, for one thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about that. They have like 10,000 referees.
Yeah.
And which I think is pretty funny. And then the other thing is, all right, JR and Josh Barnett are doing the play-by-play and color on this. They're not there.
No.
They do this later. They were very confused on this broadcast because let's move on into Alpha versus Omega, which is Kenny Omega versus Jericho, which was a great match. Figured it would turn out the way it did. You know, from what I've heard of the Bullet Club, I was surprised they didn't jump in the match.
Well,
they were there at the beginning, but they left.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different part of the Bullet Club. That's the Elite. Basically, the Young Bucks and Omega are the oldest members of Bullet Club who are not from Japan, basically.
I also think it's funny that WWE has now went with Balor Club. Is that to combat
that? That was always in the works. I mean, Balor Club has been a shirt
For a while.
Since like 2015, 2016.
Yeah, it's like, when are they going to do something with that? So back to the Alpha and Omega match. One thing that I've noticed is it's a little more brutal in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like they cut. Because Omega, at one point, Jericho is ramming his head into a chair in the ring that's tied up in the ring. And you could tell he was upset that he wasn't bleeding because he was supposed to be bleeding. And then they show the referee, and he's looking at the referee, and I could have swore the referee handed him something. Mm-hmm. And it's usually the wrestler hands the referee something. And I know WWE, they don't like to cut.
They normally don't cut. They normally
He could not make himself bleed.
No, exactly.
And I think that was very obvious.
Yeah. And the thing was, like, earlier in the works for that match, Omega did bleed. So they were going to use that as like a thing.
Yeah, I saw that in the videos yeah. leading up to it, and you saw it, so you knew it was a possibility, supposedly yeah. scar tissue and all that kind of stuff.
So they normally don't do that, but for like occasions like this, they do. Normally, if people do bleed, it's because something happened in that match. All you right. know,
criticism for JR, and don't like to do this very often. And I can tell he and Josh didn't know this, and I don't know this, and maybe you do know. When it's a no DQ match, how come ring ropes and countouts are in there? And you could tell they were confused. We talked about this.
No,
before.
I was confused by that too.
Yeah, that. Going into this, JR and Josh, they don't know the outcome so they can call it clean.
Exactly.
Apparently, they don't know the rules either. Maybe no one understands the rules in Japan.
Well, no, that was a thing that, and this was highlighted in Jericho's podcast with Omega. If you haven't got a chance to listen to it, go listen to it. But I'll give you some of the tidbits. He was saying that during the match, like everyone knows this is a no DQ match, so when Omega grabbed the rope at the bottom, he kept looking at Red Shoes, who was the referee at the time, and saying, "What are you doing? It's a no DQ match." And I was wondering, did they censor that out in that? Did you hear
no,
Jericho say that?
Didn't hear him.
In the actual live footage of it, you hear Jericho say, "It's a no DQ match. Stop saying that. It's a no DQ match. Stop it." Like he was playing and like yelling at the ref the whole time. And the announcers played it off beautifully. He's like, Omega's grabbing the ropes, but the ref can't do anything about it. Like the ref can say that he's doing something about it, but so it's one of those things where the rules do apply, but in a no DQ match, they're not going to.
Well, anyway, it was very confusing. I mean,
yeah, no
DQ should be no DQ, and I don't get that. And all right, I'm going to ask you about the other stuff, but I have one more question. I've been meaning to ask you about this. Maybe you know the answer, and maybe when we get our wrestler on next time, we can ask him too. What the heck is strong style? What does that mean?
Strong style is basically wrestling, and this is, in a nutshell, wrestling that really hurts. And you know how we talk about, you know, WWE, how you can kind of tell, oh, they're not really hitting each other, stuff like that. 90% of the things that you see in New Japan are landing. Like, it's actually going toe-to-toe. Those knee strikes that Omega was doing are hitting. Like, they're hitting full force to Jericho. So strong style is wrestling that is real.
So when Jericho beat up Red Shoes and then his son.
That was real.
Okay. That was funny. JR was like, he beat up Red Shoes and then he beat up his son in front of him. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Was classic JR. All right. We need to finish up the podcast. Tell me about the other stuff that you wanted to tell me about.
Naito versus Okada. Great match. If you have the time to go watch it, go watch it. The story takes a little bit more time to explain. So if you have time, go review the story as well. Fantastic match. The Young Bucks win their 7th IWGP Junior Tag Team Championships of the world, and that is the most all-time in tag team history. So, I mean, they're obviously one of the best tag teams in New Japan history, if not the world. Also, the Junior Heavyweight Championship match, and I can't remember everyone who was in there, but honestly, go watch that match from beginning to end. It is a masterpiece of a match, what juniors could do. And I kind of wish WWE would look at it and say, that's what cruiserweights can do. Let's try to do this with them. Because that's basically the junior division is cruiserweights.
Mm-hmm.
And that match could have stole the show if Omega and Jericho didn't do so well, or Okada and Naito didn't do so well. Like, it was that high up.
You know, I think I may have, I think Access may have recorded that separately
because
I saw something else. And so I may go check that out. All right, we need to finish up this podcast. Thanks to everyone who's listening and checking it out. We will be back in a week or 2 weeks to talk about Royal Rumble. A lot of cool things going on with that. And for Patrick, I'm Lonzo. Thanks for checking out ESPN Upstate Inside the Ropes.